And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin,
amen,
then sings my soul.
Amen.
Our souls are going to sing for all eternity. They're going to sing. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Recently, the Lord has consumed my heart with this first chapter of Colossians. And I can't get away from it. I just keep reading, and this book, this chapter is, it just keeps glorifying, just like the rest of the scripture, but it glorifies Christ, and then it glorifies Christ, and it glorifies Christ, and it glorifies Christ. And I'm just hung up on it. That is what we have been called on to do. As we preach, as we hear, as we believe, as God's people, that's what we are called on to do. We glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we doing here? We're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to worship Him and praise Him. We lift Him up for all of us to look at Him and glory in Him. And we do that because that's what God the Father told us to do. And that's what God the Father Himself did. All through the Old Testament, He lifted Christ up. All through the Old Testament, He lifted Him up as the promised one who would come. Every type, every picture, every prophecy pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ came, as He began His ministry, the Father lifted Him up by declaring out loud from heaven, He's the one, hear Him.
Amen.
Listen to Him. Listen to Him. When it came time for our Lord to accomplish the work that the Father sent Him to do, the Father lifted Him up on a cross. He said, if I be lifted up, and the Father lifted Him up on a cross, and the Father said, look to Him. Believe on Him. And then when Christ finished the work, that work of saving His people, all of that work that the Father gave to Him through His blood, the Father, after that work was finished, the Father raised Him up from the dead, lifted Him up from the grave, and then lifted Him up all the way to the throne of His glory. And this is what He said: bow to Him. Worship Him. Acknowledge Him in your minds and in your hearts and in your being to be the Lord over you that He is. Everything that is, everything that has breath, everything in heaven, everything in earth, and everything under the earth must glorify and praise and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything.
Amen.
Everything. Why? Why is that? Here's the reason why. If you look at verse 16, Colossians 1 verse 16, it says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That's why. That's the reason why. In all things, He has the preeminence. In all things. Now, this is what that means. A lot of times we hear words and we don't know what they mean. This is what preeminence means. It means He's the head of it. It means He's the God over it. It means He is the sovereign, controlling, ruling Lord over it. What are we talking about? All things. In all things, He has the preeminence. In all things. Let's not let anyone tell us that we need to make Him to be our Lord. Lord over our lives, Lord over our hearts. Let's trust God on this. We don't have that kind of preeminence. We don't have the power, we don't have the controlling authority to make Him to be anything. He is Lord over our lives and over our hearts, whether we make Him to be that or not. He is. God the Father has already lifted Him up and glorified Him to that position. That's what Acts chapter 2, verse 36 says. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." God the Father has already lifted Him up and glorified Him to that position. And that's what I want to repeat this morning. That's what I want to declare. That's our message. In all things, He is the sovereign, controlling, ruling God over it. He has the preeminence. He has the preeminence. I love how many times it says He and Him in these verses. If we read on down, it keeps saying that. It just keeps doing that. But let's notice it in the verses that are our text. Look at verse 16 again. It says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." He, Him, Him, He. That's the message. Verse 16 says, "For by Him were all things created." Who exactly is the Him? And just in case we're wondering, who exactly is the Him? Look at verse 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him," for by Jesus Christ, The one who came and made himself known to this world is Jesus of Nazareth. I love that name. Don't you love that name? Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." How could everything be created by him when he was just born 2,000 years ago? How's that possible? He was born 2,000 years ago, but he wasn't created 2,000 years ago. This is the honest truth. 2,000 years ago was created for him. 2,000 years ago was created by him. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy 3, verse 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." There's an old story of two men who were friends, and they both became preachers. And one preached the truth of the sovereignty of God in salvation. All right, one preached the truth of the sovereignty of God in salvation. The other one preached the lie of man's works for salvation. One preached Christ and the other one preached man. All right. The one who catered to the lies of the flesh of man, he decided he was going to have a conference. And he invited his friend who preached the true and living God. He'd come preach at the meeting, the one who preached his work in salvation and not man's, and his say in the matter and not man's, and his right and not man's, and his glory and not man's. All right. The one who catered to the lies of the flesh invited the one who preached the true and living God. But he said this, he said, "Here's the thing. I want you to come," but he said, "I don't want you to preach anything controversial. Don't preach anything about, you know, God doing with man whatever he wants to do with man and man being nothing but sin before God and all that kind of stuff." He said, "I do want you to come, but don't you dare preach anything controversial." So his friend said, "All right." And when it came time for him to stand up, he said, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." God Almighty was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. God. God. He wasn't created 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago was created by him and for him. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God came down. God came down. God came here. Turn with me back to Colossians 1. Verse 16. It says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Everything in heaven was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in this earth was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Both were created by Him and for Him. By Him and for Him. Visible and invisible. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about gems or germs. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about rubies and sapphires and diamonds and things like that, or deadly bacterias and viruses. Doesn't matter. Both of those were created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. Why? I don't know. I don't know, other than to say for His glory and the good of His people. That's all I know to say. Somebody will say, well, I could see how rubies and, you know, there's going to be a crown, and I could see how rubies and diamonds and sapphires and all that could be made for Him. But how could deadly bacteria and viruses, how could that be all for His praise and for His glory and for the good of His people? And how could all that be? I don't know. I really don't know. But it is. It is. Everything is made by Him and for Him, and He is the head of them. He is the head of them. Bacterias and viruses, He is the head of them. And it could be in His will to lay one on me and take me down and take me to glory. Amen. That could be His will, but it's according to His will. He's the head of it. He's the head of all of it. Verse 16 says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions. We have a conflict going on in the world right now. At the center of this conflict is one particular man who is on the throne of his country. He is on the throne of his dominion. All right, here's a little question. Who put him there? Who is allowing him to do what he's doing? There was a conflict for God's people when He brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness. All right, there was a conflict for them. At the center of that conflict was one man, and his name was Pharaoh. He was seated on the throne of his dominion. Why was Pharaoh seated on that throne? Who put him there? Who allowed him to do to God's people? God's people. Who allowed him to do to God's people what he did to God's people? Whose hand was over every bit of that? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 14 says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? We see things and we don't approve of them and such on and so forth. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Do we know what that's saying right there? That's saying that Pharaoh's throne and dominion was raised up by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, showed his power to his people through the throne of the very enemy of his people. The adversary is his adversary. Why, you know, you look at different things in the world and you wonder, why is that man on this throne and this man on that throne? Why? Here's the reason why. That's how the preeminent one determined for it to be done. That's the reason. Republicans and Democrats are not running this country. God is. They're not running the world. God is. God is. He has the preeminence over it. He has the preeminence over it. All right, go with me back to Colossians 1. Verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Principalities or powers. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I love that verse right there. That's where we find our strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There is a realm of wickedness that we don't want to know anything about. Don't research it. Don't Google it. Don't look into it. We don't want to know anything about it, other than to say this: Jesus Christ is the head over it. That's all we want to know about it. Jesus Christ is God over all of it. We're not going to do it for the sake of time, but we could turn to scriptures where it says that the devils begged the Lord to let them go into swine and begged the Lord to not torture them before the time. The book of Job says the adversary himself had to present himself before our Lord and his. He's God of all of us to give an account of his matters. You know, we're going to have to give an account of our matters. And our account is either going to be given in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, or out of Jesus Christ alone. But everything has to give an account of its matters. We want his matters. Lord, give the matters of Jesus Christ to us, because our matters were given to him. That's what we want. But we ought to take great comfort in this. Great, great comfort in this. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the sovereign, preeminent head over all things.
Amen.
All things. Everything has to answer to him. Everything is being ruled by him. Nothing is outside of his control, and everything that he controls will bring glory to him. There's going to come a day when we're going to know as we have been known, and we're going to see with no glass between us, and we're going to see that everything brought glory to him. Everything, the things that just tear us all to pieces, we're going to see glory in it. That's what eternity is going to be. Seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. All right, go with me back to Colossians 1. Verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." That means stay together. That's what consist means. It means stay together. It means continue. If we stay together, if we continue, it's going to be by the all-powerful hand of our sovereign Lord. If we make it to the end, it's going to be by the all-powerful hand of our sovereign Lord. He is the head of us. Thank God. Thank God. When I look at my life from this point on, when I look at my life from the past to this point, all I can do is cringe and want to hide under a rock. And when I look at my life from this point on, alone in my flesh, it's only worse. Here's my comfort. He's the head of me. This is my comfort. He is the head over us. He's the head. If we continue, if we stay together, united with him, it's going to be by his powerful hand. He is the head of us. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's why I have comfort. Verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." He is the head of us. He's the one who's going to lead us. He's the one who's going to feed us. He's the one who's going to counsel us with his wisdom, counsel us with his knowledge. He is the one who loved us and chose us and bought us and quickened us to life again. Verse 18 says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning." He is the beginning. He's our beginning. Whenever something's good, I hate for it to end. He's the beginning. He's the end too, but he's the beginning. He'll always be the beginning. He's our resurrection from the dead. Because he lives, we live. And we'll forever acknowledge that to be the case. All through this world, all through eternity to come, we're going to forever acknowledge. We're going to forever cry that in all things, and we'll say this to him. This will be our cry to him. In all things, you have the preeminence. In all things, you have the preeminent head over life, death, judgment, redemption, heaven, hell. In all things, you're the head. Now and forever. Amen. Amen. That's what we'll cry. Thank God he's made it to be so. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.